The information contained in this episode is for informational purposes only. No material is intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.
We need a revolution. There's only one solution. I need somebody to show me, somebody to show me love. We need a revolution.
Hello and welcome to the Liberty Hour on Inform Life Radio on 1150 AM KKNW and streaming live to CHD TV. I am back. I lost my internet for a little bit there, but I am back and hopefully will hold for the next hour. And I'm so glad you could be here for this amazing hour we've got coming up. Get a little business out of the way before we begin. The views expressed on this show are not necessarily those of KKNW or CHD TV, those two excellent free speech platforms. We're not giving medical or legal advice. We're just here to have great conversation. And oh my goodness. Oh, can't leave out that Inform Twist Washington, the members of Inform Twist Washington are who sponsor this. Our free speech. So if you're unfamiliar with it, go to informtwistwa.org. And if you're not yet a member, sign up to get our free newsletter. And got a great Substack that goes out every week. And if you can give a little something each week to, or each month to help keep free speech on the air and to keep the great work going of what Inform Twist Washington is doing, educating legislators, health officials and the public about the changes that are needed. We really can't overestimate. I never know quite which of those words to say, but the value of education is so important. If every individual in the United States was educated on very key, important health freedom topics, and they chose to made decisions in their life about what they were going to purchase, what sort of health practitioner they were going to go to, who they were going to vote for, all of those things in their lives, we would be creating the world we want instead of the dystopia being forced on us. So education is so important. Educate yourself and then step by step, do what you can to live that informed life. And then part of that informed life includes getting a copy of the book written by the author who's coming on now. It is Sally Saxon, and she is the author of the book, The COVID-19 Vaccines and Beyond, What the Medical Industrial Complex is Not Telling Us. So Sally, welcome to the show. I'm not sure why I'm not saying, there she is, yay. I'm just so thrilled, Sally, to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, well, thank you, Bernadette. I'm so glad to be here and just appreciate all that you do on this platform.
Yeah, well, thank you. So I want you to start off with telling folks about yourself. So you're an attorney, and you haven't always been an attorney that stepped into the crazy world that we're in, putting all on the line. So tell us a little bit about your journey that brought you here today.
Yeah. Okay. Well, actually, I'm a former attorney. I call myself maybe a retired attorney, but I practiced in Seattle for several years and was with a law firm there. And I was doing a lot of the behind the scenes work, like the research and analysis and writing legal memoranda, legal briefs. And of course, you all know legal brief is not brief. Later, I took those skills after I kind of burned out on law. I went and got involved in various other things at different times. And then, eventually it kind of led to this. But it was, I never actually intended to write a book on the subject of the COVID-19 vaccines. But after I started hearing, several testimonies, late 2021, and then in early 22, I realized, wow, these people are really suffering a lot, and their whole lives are being turned upside down. The people who got the one of the bad batches, as your listeners may realize, not everyone who got the shot got the same thing. So that's why you see such a discrepancy in the reactions to it. You know, there are some who had like no reaction at all, no adverse reaction, like hardly not even a painful arm, whereas some people died even the day they got the shot, and then everything in between. So there's just such a wide variety, and there's various reasons for that. But I, you know, my heart just went out to these people, and I thought, you know, what can I do to help? And I had already started doing some research about all things COVID, really, for another book that I was updating and doing an expanded edition of. And the more I found out about these vaccines, you know, the worse it looked. Like, these are really dangerous. They have real problems attached to these shots. So I kept doing more research. And then my original intent was just to write a little report that I could print off on my laser printer and distribute, you know, some copies to local healthcare professionals. And but the more research I did, the more I added to it, because I saw, oh my goodness, they need to know this, or you know, people need to know this as well, and this and that, and so it kept expanding, and pretty soon that little report, you know, became like 60 full-size pages. Single spaced of all kinds of and other information that really tells a story. And so I think I need to get some professional medical perspective on this. So one of my pastors introduced me to Dr. Deborah Viglione, who's became one of my co-authors, and she knew Dr. Jim Thorpe, whom many of your audience may have heard of, because he does so many interviews in this subject. And so they both read, you know, my big booklet, and it's like, oh my goodness. And, you know, their reaction was kind of the same as yours. Like, oh, all this information gathered in one place. You know, that's what they were looking for. They didn't know such a thing existed. Well, I didn't know people were necessarily looking for that, but to make a longer story short, Deb and Jim both read it and decided, yeah, they would like to help me. And so, you know, they added some to it and made suggestions. And what I had written, I added more to it. Next thing you know, we had a book. And then they started circulating it to some of their colleagues. And we started getting these wonderful endorsements, like, you know, from Dr. Peter McCullough and Dr. Mary Talley Bowden and Steve Kirsch and Dr. Bartlett, you know, Dr. Urso and several others. And it's like, oh my goodness, you know, what have we got? Mm-hmm. But, you know, all along, I had thought that this would be mainly of interest to healthcare professionals, but Dr. Deb kept saying, no, my patients want this level of information. Mm-hmm. And it's not all just data, but as I mentioned, it really tells a story as well. And then when we got Peter McCullough's endorsement, the very first thing he said was, well, this is the kind of a book my patients have been calling for. It's like, oh, okay. Well, I guess it's for patients and doctors. And because I'm not a doctor, I don't write like a doctor. And I don't write like a lawyer either, in terms of just how difficult it is to read. But it's not that difficult to read.
No, it's very accessible language. I think you do a beautiful job. Now, I was reading, my husband and I drove about 5 hours today, and for the most of it, I was reading it. Unfortunately, I don't have the hard copy yet, so I'm reading it on my phone, the Kindle version. Oh. And, you know, I was so just mesmerized by how you put it all together. And even though I've heard all of this over the years, heard it all separate, to read it all in this narrative and have it flow, I didn't even get car sick. Usually if I read too long, I did get a little sick to my stomach, but not, it wasn't car sick. It wasn't that. It was, I got to a certain point, especially when I got to the harms to the military and the pregnant women, to see it all together, gathered like that, all of the information. And this book is so highly cited and referenced, and every citation and every reference goes to those entities that are claiming it's safe and effective, which is insane, right? It's like after 4 years of hearing all this information and our heads are spinning, to have one comprehensive place that talks about the shots and where the shots fit in the big picture. And that is amazing how you did that. I want to show folks here like the table of contents from the digital version so they can get an idea of what this book is all about. Let me go ahead and do this and share and pull this up.
Yeah, because I can show the cover in the meanwhile, like, you know, this is what it looks like.
And oh, yes. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Beautiful cover. I love that design. And then is it self-published? I didn't note it is self-published. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it was very professionally put together. I've read self-published books that did not look at you. Did an excellent job putting it together.
Thank you.
And then, so your table of contents is beautifully hyperlinked. So if you want to read, you know, about a certain thing, I'm going to try to see if I can make that a little bit bigger. See if I can, there we go. But you move through four parts.
Right.
So let's talk to the audience here about the four parts. What are they going to learn in part one?
Okay. So in part one, we talk about, we kind of start out with, not only was a vaccine even necessary in the first place, but even before that, the fact that these shots are not really vaccines by any definition. And the CDC even had to kind of change its definition before these shots came out to try and, you know, include and encompass, you know, these mRNA injections. But you know, what they actually are, according to the FDA definitions, and even Pfizer's and Moderna's filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission, they refer to them as gene therapy products.
Mm-hmm. You know?
We talk about that issue, and then we look at the issue of, was an emergency use authorization requirements actually met? And we go through each of those four things and say why we don't think those were met in the first place. So it shouldn't have been.
Yeah, and you give such great. Yeah, sorry about that. It froze a little bit, and I apologize. I talked over you, but you give such great data. You show exactly in each age group, fully cited, the risk of dying of COVID was so very low in every age group. Even in 70 plus, it was still survival rates of 99 point something.
Yeah, where the 70 plus were, I think, 95% plus. Mm. But every age group below 70 was 99 point something. And 99.997 for children or youth. So there was virtually no risk of death for children, no reason why they needed a vaccine. But we also look at some other things, like one of my favorite examples of why vaccine was never even necessary in the first place was looking at, remember how Pfizer and and the government was telling us too that, oh, the shots are 95% effective, you know, and 95% effective. Well, like, Burnett, as a normal person, what would you interpret that to mean? How would you take that?
Well, because I'm not a normal person. So I walked into COVID eyes wide open. I knew that was relative risk and not absolute risk.
Okay.
And so I knew it was pure garbage that they took a handful of people and
And so what you're referring to there is the two measures of risk that the FDA uses, and they specifically tell you not to use the relative risk reduction figure because it will cause people to make less than ideal decisions.
Yes.
Instead, but what they didn't tell you is in Pfizer's own data for the clinical trials, and this was amazing to me, that that only less than 1% of the people in their clinical trials who were in the control group and got the placebo, only less than 1% actually, you know, got symptoms of COVID. And so, in other words, yeah. So if you didn't get the shot, you only had less than a 1% risk to start with. And if you took the shot, then that lowered your risk, from 0.88% down to 0.04%. And that's what that 95% reduction was. Mm-hmm. 95% reduction in the risk. But it, in both cases, it was less than 1% to start with.
Yes.
Well, how would that have affected people's decisions if they had known that's what that 95% figure, you know, referred to? So there's just so many misrepresentations, even of their own data.
Yes. And you bring in the fact that there was this whole category in the clinical trial of symptomatic but not proven to have COVID, that they completely, it's like you're doing a clinical trial for the most important genetic therapy shot on the planet.
Yeah.
And you can't follow up with these people who have symptoms to test them to make sure or not if they have COVID. So they just like leave those out of the equation, which is bizarre. And yeah. You also give the hard data and citations to the fact that the CDC finally admitted that the PCR tests at the high threshold, right? Not, we're picking up noise, and it couldn't very well distinguish between COVID or the flu. And supposedly the flu disappeared for the first year of COVID. Well, you know, I mean, it, when you read all of those facts put together, all those little bits and pieces that came out all in one place, you realize the very complicated, well thought out game plan that happened. Yeah. To make us all feel that, something was going on here.
Right. Crazy. And, you know, what amazed me was that on virtually every point on which they could lie or misrepresent data or manipulate the data or cover something up, whatever. I mean, they did just so many points. And I had been studying, the wealthy elites and their agenda for many, many years, which I didn't want to believe when I first read about that. We'll get into that in when we talk about part four. But so I was already very familiar with just the different ways that they, you know, distort the facts and sometimes make things up out of thin air and manipulate data, all the different ways that you can deceive people. But I wasn't ready for this. I mean, this took deception and lies to a whole new level for me. And the thing I think is very important for people to know when they read the book and they see, when they see how many lies there were about just every possible conceivable point concerning all things COVID, then if people know that and they're aware of these different ways and methods and strategies and tactics that are used to deceive us, once you know those ways, then you're much less easily deceived the next time.
Yes.
And that's one of the big values, I think, when people just see so much information and this whole story with so many lies, you know, mm-hmm. being exposed on so many points that, you know, so I hope to save people from being deceived the next time.
Yes, and that's why we keep coming back to this, why we can't let it go, because this game plan has, as you have in the fourth section, shows the big picture of what they're doing. Now, I'm pretty sure I got to the part in the book you did talk about how the CDC changed. Yes, you did, because you referred to the publication. The CDC changed in March of 2020, before there barely a handful of deaths in the United States, how a death certificate should be filled out, mm-hmm. artificially inflating, ridiculously inflating. Do you also cover the fact that a bit later they came out with a funeral program. They would pay up to $8,000-$9,000 of funeral expenses if you claim that your loved one died of COVID. Now, you know, I would love to see how systemic, how many people took this up, because in my little old town in Northeast Tennessee, very small population, I'm seeing in the, sitting in this little hairdresser's office, and there was two seniors talking. And without me bringing it up, they're talking about COVID nonsense and all this. They started talking about how many people they knew whose families got their loved ones' funerals paid by claiming they died of COVID, even though they didn't. And if that is, and they said, yeah, we know a lot of people. And if that made it all the way to this tiny little rural town in Eastern Tennessee, how many people, how many COVID deaths were because people wanted that money to help pay for the funeral?
Right. Well, I don't know the exact number. That would be a very interesting thing to find out. But and I'm very well aware of that. It's not addressed in the book, but we might address it in volume two, which we're working on right now. Volume two, hopefully have that done in a few months or so. But yeah, there one of the points we address in that first part is how they overinflated the death rate from COVID as opposed to with COVID. And even that change in the definition or the definition and the directive as to how to fill out the death certificates that happened in March 2020, you know, that was a departure from their policy on how to report deaths that had been in place since 2003. And their study that you probably referred to in the book.
I think I froze again.
Some professionals.
I'm back.
Some doctors and I think lawyers, other professionals did a study as to, okay, if the CDC had followed its same policy that was in effect in 2003 as to how deaths would be reported, instead of changing the definition in March 2020, you know, how many deaths would there be from COVID? And it turns out to be only 6% of, you know, that big number that we're hearing on the media every night. And interestingly, on the CDC's own website, they also showed 6%, only 6% really were from COVID as opposed to with COVID. And, you know,
It is. And Sally, because I am having internet issues, I'm going to turn my camera off. I apologize. You won't be able to see me, but hopefully you'll be able to hear me and I won't kick off. So I'm going to kind of disappear visually, but hopefully I'm still connected. There we go. Can you still hear me?
Yes, I can.
Very good. Okay. And Nathan will do his magic to do what he needs to do to make it look better. But yeah, so the trickery. So chapter one really does, or section one does a great job of really giving that overview of all the lies having to do with the product from that level. But then you begin to get a little bit deeper into why are they doing this? What the heck is going on? So what's section two all about?
Okay, section two has to do with the safety issues and why the shots are really not only unsafe, but they're really, really dangerous. And so we go into some different categories of people, like you mentioned, the military, pregnant women, children, athletes, people over 65. And we have separate chapters on each of those, kind of discussing what the impacts were on those groups. And I don't know if you got through the chapter on the military or not, but that was, when I learned all that information about the impacts on the military, that was just very, disturbing.
Yes.
Because you have these huge rates of increases in a whole slew of diseases and chronic conditions. Several hundreds of percent increase in 2021 versus the baseline of the previous 5 years. So obviously something happened there. And of course, Senator Ron Johnson, you know, got that information and he wrote letters, you know, to the Department of Defense because they had a hearing in which some of the military whistleblower doctors, you know, testified about these huge increases. And Senator Ron Johnson had told the defense secretary, you know, to not, you know, change any documents or destroy any documents or anything. Well, right after that, as we point out in the book, you know, they went and changed the whole database. And fortunately, the whistleblowers had taken care to, I don't know exactly what they did, but they had taken care to save, you know, the information as they saw it on the computer so that, you know, they would have the evidence, you know, that they were telling the truth as to what the military database showed. And but shortly after, the military whistleblowers had an opportunity to present, you know, some of their evidence in the hearings. All of a sudden, you know, the military comes back and says, "Oh, well, apparently the numbers for 2021 are not drastically different. There was glitches before. There were problems before, so now we fix them." And as Attorney Tom Renz pointed out, you know, that's just crazy. Besides the fact that that just wasn't true. I mean, so you mean the whole previous 5 years of data was all messed up and nobody noticed?
Yeah,
I mean, that's
crazy.
What they want us to believe. And, you know, in order to cover up, you know, the fact that, you know, in 2021, after the mandates, things just really shot up in terms of, you know, problems for the military. And Dr. Lieutenant Colonel Teresa Long just gave just some very, very important information. And she was called to testify in some cases. And it was very, very difficult for her. A very brave doctor. I tell you, these brave military doctor whistleblowers are really deserve a lot of credit for coming forth and explaining what the military was doing, you know, with this. So that's just one example of some of the specific, you know, data, you know, that's in part two. Of course, we talk also about how, you know, like in pregnancy, for example, which is Jim Thorpe's specialty. He's an OBGYN and maternal fetal medicine specialist. So, you know, he, you know, talked about the just the rates of miscarriages and stillbirths and so forth that just went way up, you know, after these shots started, and how pregnant women should never, ever, ever be given an experimental drug, you know, like this. And so he's very passionate on that subject because these shots have really harmed his patients in very significant ways. And so we talk about that in part two as well.
It does seem like every single rule of health ethics, medical ethics, was violated.
Yes.
During COVID. And even more alarming, not only was it violated, you know, under the guise of an emergency, which did not exist, but they want it to become standard now. How they handled this, you know, is how they want to move forward. They're just trying to normalize the lack of informed consent, the hiding of the information, the ridiculous, shoddy trials. I mean, people are still being lied to. The products on the market, when you go get any of these shots, they are still emergency use authorized products. Nobody is getting the product that is supposedly licensed. It's crazy.
And that was a whole strange situation, too, in August of 2021, when supposedly the FDA approved and licensed the Pfizer vaccine, but then they didn't. And it got confusing as to what actually happened there. But yeah, there's games being played with that. And now in our volume two that's coming out a little later in the summer, you know, we're going to address this issue of the involvement of the military mm-hmm. and the Department of Defense, which really wasn't talked about much or known too much about, you know, in 2021 or even 2022. You know, we didn't hear about that much while we were in the process of putting this book together. And so we're going to cover that in the next volume. But that, the military's involvement and the different, you know, countermeasures that were involved under different statutes, you know, it puts the whole emergency use authorization, the clinical trials, and all kinds of other issues in a whole different category. It's like certain things really aren't necessary. Like they didn't really need the clinical trials, you know, under this other program that they were doing the whole vaccine program under. But they went through that charade anyway. And, you know, what was that all about? And so we're going to be discussing that in volume two. And so there are just many, many points that regarding that, where there misrepresentations and just the whole kind of secrecy. Why didn't we know about the involvement of the Department of Defense right from the beginning on these things? You know, it makes you wonder. Yeah. And so part three, you know, of the book, I'll just mention that deals more with the effectiveness issue. And, you know, there again, so many misrepresentations. You know, we all heard about, you know, this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. But actually, when you look at a lot of the data, and some of this comes from other countries too, like, you know, Canada and the UK and some places, but even some of the data in the US, you know, does not jive with this narrative that this was a pandemic of the unvaccinated. And, you know, for example, you know, the more shots that somebody, you know, gets, the more likely they are to get COVID and even to get hospitalized. And there was various data that we include in the book that shows, you know, the vast majority of people who are hospitalized, you know, with COVID after a certain point, you know, we're all vaccinated. And then here again, too, the CDC's playing these games with what constitutes a vaccinated person, you know, who counts as being vaccinated. And they kind of change the definitions again. That's one of the ways that they, you know, deceive people and really try to hide what's going on. When they change the definition of who is vaccinated to meaning that, okay, you are not considered vaccinated for purposes of determining, you know, how many hospitalized patients were vaccinated or how many people who died were vaccinated. You are not considered vaccinated until 14 days after your last injection. And actually, it's a little more complicated than that. You have to have had your primary series. And like if you only had one shot of Pfizer, for example, and then died after that, you were still considered unvaccinated. I mean, it's crazy. And even if you've had two shots of Pfizer and the booster came out, but you didn't get the booster, you know, when you could have, and then you died or were hospitalized, you were still considered unvaccinated. And so, you know, it's very, very deceiving how they did that. And some of the other things in part three about the book were also, you know, very, actually, you know, very interesting. when you get into, these white fibrous clots that some of the embalmers were finding, a lot of the embalmers, Richard Hirschman, of course, was the first one who was brave enough to speak out about these white fibrous clots that he had never seen before in all his years of embalming. And, you know, what's that all about? And we even include some pictures of those in there. We talk about that and, risk benefit analysis. And, that's what they seem to go by. But the problem is a lot of the doctors and experts say, especially when you look back at the data, they say there are no real benefits from this, from this shot. It's all risk. And, it's hard to say that, as has been claimed, that these shots have saved millions of lives. Where do they get that kind of data?
Right. It's all conjecture. Are you able to hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. Sorry. I apologize for the technical glitches here today, but Sally, you are carrying the show and I thank you so much. This is fascinating information. What's important for listeners to know is everything that went wrong or that was corrupt within COVID was not brand new to COVID. The foundations of this, the systemic problems in healthcare, in the military, in the government agencies, in the militarization of disease, it existed. And so while it seems like, holy cow, where did all this come from? It's been decades in the making. So that's so important for people to know. So before I lose connection again here, let's have you now move on to the final sections of the book. So, and talk about the big picture, Sally. This is so important.
Yeah. Well, when I talk about the big picture that all things COVID fit into, to me, that's one of the most important things that I hope people take away from the book, because if we don't understand that there is a bigger picture and a bigger agenda behind all things COVID, then we'll have a lot of trouble believing the big lies, or we'll have a lot of trouble believing that our government could possibly be seeking to harm us or injure us in any way. And that's a big lie that they're doing these things to protect us. The big lie that these are safe and effective and so forth and so on. But, especially when the government's own data contradicts, what they're saying, in public. And so the big picture, for those who aren't familiar, and of course, the corporate media would call this conspiracy theory, but I've done a lot of research on this subject over the last 30 years or so since I first found out about this bigger agenda, which at that time I didn't even know how big the agenda was or what all the parts are now that we've been finding out the last few years. There isn't much bigger agenda that. All things COVID, the pandemic was a plandemic, as your listeners probably realize, but that is true, and conceived by the group of wealthy elites that are part of families that go back hundreds of years, actually. But the bigger agenda to really transform not only our whole society, but also to transform even what it means to be human. And if you are familiar with any of the statements or videos made by representatives of the World Economic Forum, for example, Klaus Schwab or his assistant, Yuval Noah Harari, they've made some pretty radical statements about their vision for the world. Their vision of how we think our lives should be. And so this group of wealthy elites that have been, they've effectively been able to gain control over all major areas of society of the major industrialized countries. And so that their agenda is not just, you know, making money for big pharma. It's not just the power and control either. And it's not just a depopulation agenda. It even goes beyond that, where the statements of Yuval Noah Harari talk about, you know, we're among the last generations of Homo sapiens, and that, you know, how they can hack, you know, human bodies and brains and so forth. And, you know, they talk about genetic editing and changing who we are, you know, at the gene DNA level and things like that. And that's why the shots being considered really gene therapy is an important issue for people, you know, to understand. But, you know, so they take it into transhumanism, which is part when you start messing with people's DNA and seeking to make them part human but part machine, you know, and with the artificial intelligence and just, you know, different things, you know, making superhumans or just, you know, changing the human DNA, it gets into some areas where they're really trying to play God, you know, which is not a good thing. And, you know, technology can be used for many good purposes, but the same technology that might do a lot of good for a lot of people could also be very devastating and have a lot of bad uses. And, you know, when you look at all the circumstances as a whole, you can only conclude that the people perpetrating, you know, the whole plandemic, you know, that it's just evil, you know, that they're just doing evil is they want to play God, and they have an agenda that, you know, they want to, I think they were using COVID to sort of jumpstart or to take that quantum leap into their great reset, which would be such a total transformation of our whole society, you know, into a much more, if we think we're under a lot of controls now, even though we have lost a lot of our freedoms and they do control us in so many ways, but we haven't seen anything yet. And so we get into a little bit, you know, of that, what is that agenda? And, you know, what it comes down to is that at its root, this is a spiritual war that we're in, not just a war against.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you bring that up.
And why do I call it a spiritual war? Because it involves evil. And how do I say that, you know, you can't get away from calling this whole thing evil? Now, for example, okay, we know that, you know, the government and the manufacturers have been aware of all the deaths and injuries for a long time. And when you go back and look at, the rollout of the vaccines was in December of 2020. And the FDA's historical policy, you know, for when a drug would be recalled off the market was if they had 50 deaths or more associated with a particular drug, it would get pulled off the market. And there would be other warnings even before that that are placed on the drugs. But man, at 50 deaths, it would have been pulled off the market. Well, when did we reach that 50 death threshold? And at the latest, it was the middle of January 2021. That was more than 3 years ago now, when these should have been pulled off the market. And they haven't. Not only did they not pull it off the market when it should have been, but they continue to claim it's safe and effective. And then not only encourage people to get the shot in every which way, but they spent literally billions of dollars the government did as, call it what you will, payouts, bribes, financial incentives, to all kinds of community leaders, through a program to encourage people, community leaders, celebrities, people who are influencers in one way or another. And they used their influence to persuade people to take the shots. So you've got this situation where the government and the vaccine makers, they know the harm that's being done by these shots. And yet they continue to push them. And it's like they were just totally bent on getting everyone on the planet injected. And whatever it would take to do that, that's what they were trying to do, even though they knew of all these horrendous injuries.
And Sally, it continues to this day. There's a recent release put out by, I'm not sure which of the global entities, World Health Organization or what, but the language is horrific because they say every person on the planet, every single person must, they're still saying this, get the COVID shot. Yes. And all vaccines, pre-cradle to grave, they're just saying we will not stop until everybody is vaccinated. It's really frightening how instead of stepping back and, it just really shows, as you said, that this is really good versus evil. This has nothing really to do with disease at all. This is about power and control. And I love, though, I love the humanity you bring to the topic. I love that you do explain it's good versus evil, but you give people hope. I love that aspect of your book. You give that. I haven't gotten to the end yet, but I know in the beginning, you don't leave one of the most important things out of your book, and that is God. That is faith. That is, whatever this wonderful thing that life force is, the goodness of it, it will prevail and we can't give up.
Right. And so we can make the point that this is a spiritual war and there is no fence to sit on. You're either on one side or the other. And if you don't make an intentional decision to align with God and connect with God, then the default is you are supporting the other side. The side that's trying to change what it means to be human, the side that's perpetrating these evils, against all of us. And so it comes down to, do you want to support that? And yet, when you think about how things are in our society now, all the carnage and destruction that's been done by all things COVID, and not just the shot, but all things COVID. And you think, is there any hope for getting back to a more normal life? And I would say, yes, there is always hope because God is, the World Economic Forum and the wealthy elites might have their great reset, but God has his great awakening. And that's already in progress. And he's awakening people not only to what's going on in the world, what's the truth about, all these things, like in our book, but what's the truth about him? And he's awakening us, awakening our spirits to seek him and to draw close to him because he, is our protection and all things are possible for him. And there's no human being or institution that can offer us what God offers us. And so our hope, has to be in him. He is the creator. And volume two of our book, when that's going to go into a little more detail about the ultimate end game of these wealthy elites, even beyond what we covered in this book, because it's so important to know, because we all have to make a decision if we haven't made it already. Which side are we going to be on? And what does it take to know that we're on, the side with God?
Yes, Exactly. And again, the name of your book is The COVID-19 Vaccines and Beyond, What the Medical Industrial Complex is Not Telling Us, by Sally Saxon, and with help of James Thorpe and Deborah Viglione. If I pronounce that correctly, forward by Dr. Peter McCullough. So I encourage everyone to get this book because, you know, we have been overwhelmed with so much information and everything that's been happening to us, COVID and beyond, is contained in this book. So it's a great reference to understand where we are. And in the last like 2 minutes, tell people, I know at the end, I haven't gotten to it. I know that in one of the subtitles, there's about a calls to action. So empower people what they can do now so they know that they're empowered to head us in the right direction.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the call to action in that book is more directly related to healthcare professionals. But one thing that we say there, which applies to everybody, is just like your show, get informed. You know, you have to be informed. So one thing we really encourage people to do is to get a copy, like of our book, put it in the hands of your doctors or other healthcare professionals or your legislators or your even county councils. They need to have this information. And, you know, because if they read even a page or two of this book, almost any page or two, they should be able to see that there's a problem here. So, you know, getting informed is one thing, is the starting point. But even beyond that, like in our book two, volume two is going to have more things even for, you know, just the rest of us, what we can do. The main thing I would say is when you're informed and you know what to look for, don't be deceived and do not go along with the evil agenda anymore. Just say no.
You know, I love it.
Why?
I love it. That's a great place to end it. And then you have your own website. It's your name, isn't it? Sally Saxon, SAXON.com.
Right. SallySaxon.com. And then the book has a website too, thecvbook.com. CV stands for COVID vaccine. So thecvbook.com. And there's also a special mini podcast series you can find on thecvbook.com.
Yeah. Excellent. Rockstar. And I think I've lost it again. You've been listening to Informed Life Radio, 1150 AM KKNW and CHD TV. We'll see you next week, hopefully with no glitches. Take care.
Are you suffering from a sinking feeling that the COVID-19 pandemic is being blown out of proportion and that nothing in the news is making any sense? If so, then there is a fact-based, science-driven news show designed just for you. My name is Del Bigtree, and I am the host of The High Wire, the world's most trusted news source in digital media when it comes to accurate, science-based reporting on the COVID-19 pandemic. From COVID-19 vaccine development to mask mandates, school shutdowns to job layoffs, The High Wire goes beyond providing you with the most accurate, evidence-based investigations. We send you links to the sources for all of our reporting so that you can further your own investigation and come to your own informed conclusions. High above the agenda-driven circus of mainstream media, we do not run. We do not hide from the truth. Instead, we walk the high wire. If you care about truth, then join us on Instagram, Twitter, Roku, and our website, thehighwire.com.
Informed Choice Washington is a nonprofit organization that advocates for healthy immunity, medical freedom, and fully informed medical consent. The right to make medical choices without coercion is fundamental to our civil liberties and a basic principle in all human rights declarations. To learn more, tune in each Friday from 3 to 5 p.m. to an Informed Life Radio and visit the website informedchoicewa.org. It's time to take a stand for medical freedom. Go to informedchoicewa.org. Today.
The information contained in this episode is for informational purposes only. No material is intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.